Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my faithful compadre, Glenn Martin. You guys know us by now. We are so excited to have our guests on tonight, talk about the Baltimore Ravens and Nate Wiggins specifically. Looking forward to it. Before we get into it, of course, as always, take a second, give us a like, hit the subscribe button, all the above, so you make sure you stay up to date with your Ravens news. But Glenn, who do we got coming on the show tonight?
Yeah, familiar face. Joined us last year. When Trenton Simpson joined the Ravens, and so we're welcoming back a familiar face and friend of the show, John Blau, who covers Clemson Athletics for the Post and Courier. John, how you doing tonight? Thank you for coming back.
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely excited. And
we put you
here.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle. You're not going anywhere, it. John. No escape.
Feel very
That's
safe.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. But appreciate your time. Absolutely. And, It seems like the Ravens, everyone's being calling this a bit of a steal, that the Ravens once again let a really talented player fall to them where they were picking, didn't panic and try and jump up and get a guy, just let a good player fall into their laps. And really, you don't need to look much further than just how long they were officially on the clock. I believe 7 seconds is how long it took them to decide on their pick. So it's pretty clear that they knew who they were taking if he made it there. But why do you think he slid to 30? And why do you think the Ravens were so? Why do you think they ran that card right in once he did?
Yeah, I mean, sliding to 30, I would say probably just the slight frame. I mean, 173 pounds, obviously not built like you want a corner to be built, and just some discipline issues that were probably. People saw on tape, I saw Daniel Jeremiah talking about sometimes he peeks into the backfield at the quarterback and kind of get a little loose in terms of coverage sometimes. Not entirely aggressive versus the run. It's kind of inconsistent. Like there have been times where Nate's popped the guy, but, every now and again, just not really engaging as strongly as you need to. But, yeah, I mean, why they would run to the podium, I mean, the guy ran a 4.28 40 at the combine, and he's a 6'1", is rangy. And I think the Ravens brought this up as well. He's only 20 years old. So, I mean, if you're a little concerned about the 173 pounds, I mean, he's not completely physically matured yet. And again, there's some inconsistencies on tape. But when he's really, when he's good, he's really good. I mean, he can really stick to a guy. Fast feet, obviously really fast. He's got great recovery skills there. And the hustle you see sometimes, again, like versus the run, not always. But, I mean, those plays that he made against North Carolina and Miami where he's chasing a guy for 50 yards and stripping the ball out at the 1 yard line. I mean, that's really impressive hustle. So a lot of stuff to like about Nate Wiggins. Obviously he's got to polish up some stuff, but obviously the raw talent's there.
Yeah, no, definitely. When we made the pick infamously on the show, I wasn't super excited about it. I really wanted Cooper DeJean at that pick. Went back and watched some tape on Nate and got really excited, to have him on the team as a pure cover corner. Like you said, the speed and other things show up, the length as well for his frame. But the one question I had was around his physicality. I know the frame is a thing. Like people, talking about him as smaller. And I think, according to ESPN, he's already like put on 11 pounds or something like that since that 173 weigh-in. Who knows if that's true. But really for me, outside of just the size of the guy, it's a physicality, is a commitment. It's a mindset. Some guys have it, some don't. But I think it can be learned. So as far as being a willing tackler, right, and a willing participator on defense in the box, close to the line of scrimmage, how would you see him? Nothing needs to be perfectly polished, but his willingness to get physical up there when those running backs are coming to the outside and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, I think John Harbaugh brought it up during the press conference. So there have been moments where he's popped guys. I mean, where he will absolutely get in there and hit somebody. It's not like he's afraid to. I think maybe it's just sometimes – just mentally not completely engaged in what's going on and not really, being as aggressive as he should be. But again, in terms of the want to, again, I would go back to those North Carolina, that Miami play. If you don't have want to, you don't chase a guy for 55 yards, rip the ball out, get in there and do that. And so he's definitely not afraid to. I don't think it's a fear thing. I don't think he's quote unquote soft. I just think sometimes it's a young guy who's just not, completely engaged in every moment. And that's something that, can be trained into a guy. I think the Ravens obviously are going to have coaches, mentors, somebody like Trent Simpson, who is a teammate at Clemson. Those guys are going to be in his ear. And I'm sure that they can work on that.
Yeah, and Jimmy mentioned the fact that ESPN has reported he put on some weight. Did he not? Didn't he weigh in quite a bit heavier just at the pro day, at Clemson's pro day? Did you see the numbers on that?
I forget. Now, off the top of my head, I don't remember. I mean, I know that the listing was always at 173, and that was from the combine. I forget if he.
I believe he weighed at 180 at Clemson's pro day. So already putting a couple pounds on. And like you mentioned, at 20 years old, I mean, I think they say typically a man reaches physical maturity, what, 22? So he's still got certainly plenty of time to hopefully grow into, you know, grow into his frame a little bit. But that's what I like to hear, the willingness, right? That's the biggest important thing. If the guy has willingness, then you can kind of work on some of the other things. If he's soft, it's hard to overturn that. But one thing I did want to get your take on, John, is to be a great corner, I think, in the league and really even at the collegiate level, I think you got to have a couple things. Certainly a short memory, I think, is a good one. But competitive nature, I think, is the most important thing as a corner. You got to believe in yourself and you got to be competitive as heck. So is that a kind of guy who kind of bring, because I think you got to maybe call it a little swag to the position, because you got to believe in yourself when maybe even nobody else does as a cornerback, especially when you're going up against talented wideouts. What's his, was he a confident, did he play with a lot of confidence out there? Is this a guy you would say plays with swag? And what's the competitive nature of Nate Wiggins?
Yeah, I mean, he's a quiet guy. I mean, when we interview him, he doesn't say more than probably like 10 words at a time. It's not like the vocal guy, but in terms of his confidence, yeah, you see it on the field. I mean, absolutely going, jawing back and forth with receivers a little bit. You know, that competitive streak even kind of ran hot in some not great ways as a sophomore. I mean, he got burned. I remember the Wake Forest game was ugly for everybody in that secondary. Sam Hartman had like 6 touchdowns. I think Dabo Sweeney said if they threw a 7th, I would have went in and played corner myself. but he kind of learned from moments like that. I think he had some down, you know, some moments where it got frustrating for him, and he was, you know, even committing some pass interference penalties and getting a little sloppy, a little undisciplined. But he really grew through that sophomore year, and it became a very, very you can just tell talking to a guy again. He's not going to say a million words, but just talking to him that he was very, very confident in himself. He believed he was a shutdown corner. I'm not that number one guy. And I think he even talked about it on the draft night that, you know, he didn't expect to be there at 30. I mean, he thought, I'm the number one corner in this draft. I'm going to be in the, you know, maybe low 20s, maybe, you know, high teens. He was kind of surprised that he lasted as long as he did. So, yeah, he's definitely a very confident guy, definitely plays with some swag. Nice. You know, when he gets the ball in his hands, he's trying to run it back for a touchdown, which he did a couple times in his career. So, yeah, he's definitely an electrifying guy in that way.
Nice. Now, he talked about being a, you know, surprised and have a chip on his shoulder and things like that. A lot of people have had him ranked as like 5th, 6th best corner in there. Some people had DeJean and McKinstry over him. But were you surprised, as a guy who covers him closer than the national media, were you surprised that he started to fall to that 30 area? Were you expecting him to go a little earlier? Kind of how did you take that?
Yeah, I think I had read, you know, the commentary that a lot of the, you know, draft experts had, and it all made sense to me. Again, the guy who's 173 pounds. I mean, that's not ideal. That's going to be a knock against you. You know, there were, I don't want to say, I think he's got good character, but there were issues where he didn't start a couple games last year because he didn't go to tutoring sessions. Just like small stuff where he's not really completely invested. I mean, there's things that I could see teams going through that process and being like, well, is this guy doing the small things? He's only 173 pounds. He doesn't always contest against the run, things like that. I could see there being red flags, knocks, where guys are saying, well, we're going to pass on that guy. And so it wasn't a complete surprise that maybe he went towards the bottom of the first round. Obviously, a lot of that had to do also with all the quarterbacks and offensive guys that were getting drafted at the top of the draft, pushing a lot of people down.
Definitely.
But unprecedented. But yeah, it was not totally surprising. But again, he's 20 years old. And so that's why I say, like, I specify not bad character. I think he's a good person. I think a lot of that can be trained out of a guy in terms of just having good mentors and coaches. And but I guess there were enough red flags that I could see a little bit of slip happening. I wasn't totally surprised.
Yeah. It sounds like you think that you get around a culture like the Ravens are building with guys, you know, with strong, good leaders like Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey, those guys. You think if he's surrounded by that type of veteran leadership, that maybe some maturity issues could get ironed out?
Yeah. And again, Trent Simpson, I think it's great that they have a guy who he knows from Clemson, who is a very hard worker. I mean, Trenton's the son of a military man, has been working hard his entire life, a very straight and narrow type guy. I think having a guy like Trenton Simpson, who knows, maybe they room together or something. Mm-hmm. I think having a mentor like that, somebody who's already been in the program, who knows him well, I think that's obviously a huge plus. And like you said, Marlon Humphreys, mm-hmm. some of these other guys that the Ravens have, and I think they have a pretty good culture as an organization. So I think it's a great match for player and organization, just because I think they have a proven track record of, again, identifying talent and then also doing a good job of developing it. So I think, yeah, if he gets around the right people, I think he should be fine.
Hey, Jimmy, last question from me. And thanks again, John, for all your time. He seems to be a Dabo Swinney guy. Like, we keep seeing how Dabo vouched for him, how he told the Raven. It just seemed, what is it, do you think, that makes him, you know, such a favorite of Dabo? And how was he looked at by his teammates? Was he a guy who was embraced and celebrated by his teammates and got along well with them? Or was he more of a bit of a loner in that regard?
Yeah, no, I think he was a guy that everybody liked.
Good.
I know. I remember Dabo was saying, you know, when he was a sophomore, he's called him Nate the Great, was his nickname for him. Obviously, easy rhyme there, obviously. But, you know, he was rooting for him. A kid who came, you know, was raised by a single mother, very much loves his mother. I think he was talking about it a lot coming into the draft, wanted to buy her a house and, mm-hmm. you know, do all he can for her. And I think Dabo has a soft spot for guys he knows has that kind of story, who they're trying to make a better life for themselves. And I think he sees a good person there. And again, he had those couple of games where he didn't start, mm-hmm. but that's Dabo holding the guy accountable, just because he has certain rules in his program and you have to follow him. And I think Nate learned from that, though. I think he was accountable in those situations. He obviously fixed what he had to fix. I think he had the respect of his teammates. They knew he was trying. Again, you chase the way he did. That UNC play is just mm-hmm. absolutely ridiculous. The effort he gave, and obviously Dabo was ecstatic about that. I mean, talked about that for weeks and weeks, and that's going to be a play they talk about in their building for years, just in terms of heart and effort and all that. So yeah, absolutely a loved guy. And I think they have good opinions of him. Definitely. Sure.
Good.
No, that's awesome. I just have a few more for you, John. One is there something about him that maybe people don't, that hasn't been covered that often, whether it's a part of his game or, you know, you talked a little about who he is as a person, but there's something that might surprise people that we can look forward to, whether, like I said, him as a person or as a player, now that he's coming to Baltimore, that isn't well covered right now.
Well covered. Yeah. I mean, again, as a person, I think I actually saw this written by the Baltimore Banner, though. So he has something called the Worldwide Whigs Foundation. He already mm-hmm. has a foundation. Again, single mother from Atlanta. He played at Westlake, which is one of those powerhouse programs. AJ Terrell came out of Clemson's from there as well. Avion Terrell is another corner they have at Clemson from Westlake. But yeah, he's not from a place where he had a whole lot. I think he obviously recognized that very quickly, and he's in a pretty good position to give back. And so, I mean, he already has a foundation that he's working with,
cool.
Trying awesome. To, you know, give back to his community and stuff. So yeah, just a guy who, again, this is a story that we hear in the NFL sometimes, didn't have a whole lot growing up, worked really hard to get what he got, and he's, you know, already looking to give back.
Nice. Now I like mm-hmm. those type of guys at corner, because it's a eat what you kill type mentality in life, and then also at the position, right? Like mm-hmm. that's just kind of how it is at corner. John, I appreciate it. We appreciate the time profoundly. Why don't you let folks know where they can find all the stuff that you're working on? It sounds like we're starting to create a pipeline from Clemson to Baltimore, so hopefully we have you on this time next year as mm-hmm. well. So why don't you let the folks know where they can find all your stuff?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter, X, whatever we call it now, at John_Blau. So my first and last name with an underscore in there. And Post and Courier is the newspaper. So you go to www.postandcourier.com. You can read all my work there. And yeah, we'll see. I mean, obviously, Philly's trying to compete with you guys in terms of the pipeline mm-hmm. with two guys this year, but we'll see.
Nice. That's right. That's right. We'll see. But yeah, John, thanks again. Thanks for your flexibility and making adjustments and joining us. And I hope you have a great evening.
All right, you too. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Yep.